This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I am Jamie Jennings, and I'm in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 16th, episode 2291, brought to you by horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cussing this damn heat all day long.
And coming up on today's episode, we've got Deanne Long Sloan from Horse Nation, and she's going to tell us about a little contest that they've got coming up for you aspiring riders. And Jemmy, producer that's usually here on Wednesday, is going to stop by and tell us about a new show she's got coming out. And wrapping things up, Abby Foltz has the Chronicle in History. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, would you like to win a run-in shed? I mean,
yes.
A really good run-in shed, a 10 by 20 run-in shed. Wouldn't that be the perfect gift for you and your horses? And you probably need a couple.
So. I do need a couple. And if the dang horses would stand in it, that'd be great. But I think I got one that's too small. They're just like, meh, we'll just stand in the rain. We're fine.
Horses do that anyway. I don't care how big your run-in shed is. And then if there's one horse they don't like in the run-in shed, the rest stand outside. So Horizon Structures is doing their second annual run-in shed sweepstakes giveaway. And apparently Boyd Martin and Philip Dutton are involved in this because they are the ones that will pick the winners.
Do they come with it?
No, I don't think they come with it. But it runs from October 15th through November 30th. You can enter. And you said you did do the entry. It's pretty simple, right?
Yeah, I just name an email address. And then if you get picked, do you have to do a video?
Yes. Well, apparently the winner last year was Ashley Nelms of Flare Oaks Rescue in North Carolina. To enter, you go to horizonstructures.com. That's where you can enter. And then in December, Philip and Boyd are going to pick the winner. So there you go. There's how you can win a run-in shed. All right. Very daily cool. Winnie time. Well, happy birthday to a friend of the show for as long as this show's been going on, and Canadian inventor Jess Phoenix. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday, Jess. And also auditor Renee Lantzwitz. Lantzwitz? I'm going with Lantzwitz. So
just
happy
own
birthday
it, Glenn.
To Renee as well.
All right. Well, I've got a happy birthday as well.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, well, let me do this.
Well, a very special birthday to Cade Edmonds. Cade is Casey, our auditor's son, and I watched him open all his presents on a video on Facebook. He's adorable. He's about Lucas's age. And this dude has the best haircut I've ever seen. And after seeing what he got, he's got like a shaved on the side, like a mohawk kind of thing. It's awesome. And after seeing what he got for his birthday, he's invited to come fishing with Lucas in our pond anytime. So happy birthday, buddy.
Well, happy birthday. All right. I did something stupid
yesterday. I did, you know, goes
was
back
it the
to
dance
like
dance video I saw you posted in the auditor room.
Yeah, if you want to get in on stuff, become an auditor. Good Lord. I have this horse, Kona, who is from the Horse and Hound Rescue, and he's here for training, and he's very, very, very afraid of sudden movements. So I decided to put him in the cross ties and do a dance video. And I posted it in the auditor's room because nowhere else would I ever post something like that.
So it was a different stupid thing you're talking about
there. Yeah, it's a whole different stupid thing. And it's like one of those things that horses, it just confirmed to me that horses behave a certain way because of a reason. So after working Kona, I got Drax out, put him in cross size, got him all groomed, got him checked up, but I was kind of in a hurry.
Remind everybody who Drax is.
Drax is my 4-year-old thoroughbred. He and Baby Groot were vying for that slot for the makeover, but Drax kept doing minor things to himself, so he was a little behind in his training. A month off for a shoe pulled or something crazy. So Drax is, he's still in the walk, trot, canter. Like, he's now starting to understand contact, to jump a little bit. He's super quiet and super chill horse. And he's completely opposite of Baby Groot as far as where Groot's reactive, he's very okay. Like a totally sluggish thoroughbred. And so I was on him yesterday and I had to go pick up Lucas from the school bus. So I kind of got him tacked up really quick, picked his feet, brushed him down, put the saddle on, put the bridle on, got my helmet. Let's go. We got into the arena and I'm riding him. And the more I rode him, the tougher he got to the left. Like, I usually can put my leg on and he moves. Like, if I put my left leg on, he moves over to the right. If I put my right leg on, he moves over to the left. He gives to pressure really well. Well, yesterday, he was just a total jerk. Like, I was like, get off my leg. Like, he's falling into the middle of the arena. Y'all, if you've read, that frustrating feeling of, they're just, completely one-sided. I was riding down the long side of my arena. He's, counter-bent. He's bent to the right instead of to the left. Around turns, he's hollow. And I was so fine. I'm like, get off my leg. And I stop him. I'm walking. I'm kicking him. And I'm taking my inside rein and, kind of flexing him a little bit, bending it, not, to my knee or anything, but just bending him. Trying to get him to soften. Jennifer, do you know what I'm talking about when your horse is just totally dead to one side?
It's like nothing. Yeah. Yeah. Nothing.
You know what's
it's
funny?
Very frustrating.
Yeah. I'm talking with my hands and my left bicep is sore because I was like, get off my leg. What is your problem? And so I ended up having to get off Jen and I'm like, okay, we're going to do because in the world of training, sometimes you just got to break it down to the simplest thing. So then I pick up the left rein. I'm standing next to him on the ground. I put my hand on his side. I'm like, move off pressure. Like, we're making this as easy as possible, but I'm still got the left rein and I'm bending him towards me. Like, move away. Just kick your hips away. And finally, I got three and I was like, we're done. I'm so tired. My left leg is cramping. My left arm is cramping. My left side of my body is in pain. And Jen, do you know what happened?
A burr underneath the saddle. Underneath.
I take him over.
What item of pack is not put on correctly?
Yeah,
I see where this is going.
I'm such an asshole. I'm sorry. I'm the worst day. Sorry, take that out. I felt like such a jerk to poor Drax because I go over to the cross ties and I take the bridle off and he starts rubbing his head. This is the same bit and bridle that I've used for the last 10 months with this horse. No changes. I don't know if it was there beforehand or after it happened during because I tacked him up so quickly, but on the right side of his cheek, it was shredded. Like the right where the bit was like a huge cut and rub. And there was blood on just a little bit, but on the inside of the bit. And so I'm like,
what?
I'm so sorry. I can't believe I did it to you. But I might have been there, but
was there a burr on the bit?
There was nothing on the bit. I looked at the bit. But this just goes to prove that if your horse is doing a behavior, it's for a reason. I was like, what is your problem?
Did you determine what it was? Was it a tooth in his mouth is loose?
No, there was nothing. There was nothing in his mouth, nothing on the bit. It's like the bit just rubbed him or something. But maybe what happened was he had like a little cut there from eating hay or eating grass. Or there's sometimes this burr season and Oklahoma, so maybe you got like a burr and scratched him.
For some reason.
Oh, but they're intermittent. They're dispersed throughout the pasture. There's plenty of grass, but there's not. But maybe he got scratched and like I made it worse. Anyway, I felt like a terrible trainer. I felt like a terrible mama. And I apologized profusely. And I gave him a pile of carrots. And I'm so sorry.
To eat with his bloody mouth.
Yeah. There's nothing like the schmuckdom you feel when your horse is doing something and they're doing it because of a direct result of something you forgot to do or forgot to check. Yeah.
Well, you've been nice. There. Yeah. How nice is this horse that he didn't just like say, "Ep, you flip over backwards," or like, you know, buck or something like that. He just like totally took it. Like, okay. It kind of hurts.
Scooter lets me know, too, and it's usually the girth isn't tight enough. So when the shafts are on the carriage, they're really pounding on his back. You know, there's movement there. So when the girth isn't tight enough, the saddle basically comes... And from the cart, it's hard to see that the girth's not tight enough. But they do tell you.
Really? What does he do to let you know?
He just
carries
on or stops or just, you know, he just frets.
He bucks.
He bucks sometimes. We determined that the girth problem causes bucking. We were trying to figure out why he was bucking and kicking out and trying to hit me in the face with his back feet. And that's what it was. It was the girth wasn't tight enough.
It's your fault.
It was my
fault.
Isn't
it amazing? The behaviors they give us are pretty much letting us know how stupid we are. But I've never seen, I don't know what was there. I don't know what happened. All I know is it's the same bridle that he's had forever. And now he's going to be ridden with a dually halter for a few days. And poor guy, I felt like such a jerk. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Interesting to see, too, what the problem was, you know, if you can ever figure that out. If he has the same problem next time you put the bit in, you'll know it's something going on.
Well, now I'm going to get those bit, you know, guards and put them on. And now he's going to be like the special kid with a helmet on. Like, I got my baby. I've hurt you. And I just had like this great time working this crazy, like abused horse and dance party. And I got on him for the first time. And I was super like, I'm so awesome. And then I'm like, nope, you suck.
Horses have a way of reminding us, don't they?
They do. Anyway, this is one of those moments where I was like, do I tell people about this or do I not? And my thing was like, you know what? Like, I can't be the only one who's like done stupid stuff like this. So, Jen, when have you ever done something this stupid?
Oh, gosh. I distinctly remember riding a horse one time for an hour at least. We were out doing a flat school and he was an absolute jerk. Took the bridle off and the bit was turned upside down. Oh. You know how a jointed bit, it'll get turned around backwards. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rode like that for, you know, hour and 15 minutes. Yeah.
Oh geez. And you're like, we're going to run this out of you, whatever behavior that is.
You know, if they can talk,
why can
solve
we
these
not
problems.
Then? Why can we not take my hand? All we're going to do is stick our head straight up in the air.
Gosh, you're such a jerk. Yeah, amazing.
Hey, okay, well, horses and dogs could talk and tell us. Like, dog has the same whine for everything. She just stands there and whines, and we don't know, does she need water? Does she want out? Is she, you know, something else going on? We have no idea. It's the same whine. Do a different whine, something.
This is your pee-pee whine.
Yeah.
This is your I need attention
something
whine. I'm hungry.
And you know when that's most frustrating is the middle of the night, right? When you get up and she's whining like that and you don't know why.
God, our dog Zenyatta yesterday morning, it's middle of the night. Middle of the night and I open my eyes and it's like one of those like her eyes are 3 inches from your eyes, you know, like you're like, "Oh my God. What? Stop." I'm like, stop a second. You woke up because somebody's staring at you, you know? And, I'm like, Zenny, it is the middle of the night. What do you want? I'm like, I guess you got to go outside. So I get up, I'm like cussing the dog. I'm like, dang it, Zenny. I'm tired of getting up in the middle of the night, letting you outside. And I look at the clock and it's 7:15. And I'm like, crap, I got to leave us up for school. Like, she's like, "You're oversleeping, Mom. Wake up." So I felt stupid then too. Wow, I had a dumb day yesterday.
Well, while Jennifer's getting our first guest on, we're going to be doing something again this year that we've done for the last couple of years. I wanted to, you know what? We're going to make this.
Oh.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
There's a couple of things that struck me about this story. I want to see if they strike you too, okay? The owner of a popular iron horse statue in Alpine, California, believes a lot of planning went into stealing it. Now, this is a 14-foot-tall, 300-pound statue of a horse.
Okay.
You've seen those at stores and stuff, right? This is the sentence. The statue stood 14 tall and weighed approximately 300 pounds. Gallant said she didn't notice it was gone until days later. So she checked her surveillance tapes. And she has on surveillance tapes, these guys have watched the video, these guys stealing the statue. Apparently she bought it 15 years ago to set it up at her store, which is double S, tack, and feed. So she would really like the statue returned. First of all, what does somebody do with a 14-foot, 300-pound statue? Do you bring that to the pawn shop and say, what are you going to give me for this? You know, I don't know what you do with that. But also the other thing that struck me in this story is she didn't notice till days later. It's out in front of her store.
That's what got me. Like, this statue is an icon in the neighborhood. She bought it 15 years ago, set it up at her store. Somebody stole it a few days ago.
I just caught me on the, when I read that, I had to reread it three times because I thought I read it wrong. But no, it says she didn't notice until it was gone days later. Maybe it's one of those things that's there. You know how you walk by something that's there every day, you don't even notice it. Maybe it's that kind of thing.
You think you would notice a 15-foot tall statue that is on your building and it's gone. I mean, that's the part of that really got me. I was like, somebody jerk stole her statue. How did she not notice for a few days?
So to the jerks that stole the statue, I'm calling you losers because you pretty much are. And I don't know what you do with a 14-foot statue. I don't think the pawn shop's going to take it. They really don't. But oh who gosh. Knows? Maybe in California, things are different.
Hey, if anybody in Norco sees a big old statue for sale, it's coming from Alpine.
That's right.
That's a place it would go in California.
Well, we have our first guest on right now. Deanna's joining us. She's the managing editor of Horse Nation. She, of course, took over for Leslie when Leslie moved over to Eventing Nation and had a baby and all that stuff. And Deanna, we have a couple of announcements here today. Good morning, Deanna.
Good morning.
Deanna is going to be taking over Leslie's slot on Monday. So this is the way it's going to work. You're going to come on Mondays at 11, just like Leslie did for years and years and years. And you're going to come on three Mondays a month. And then Leslie's still going to join us one Monday a month because she has this kid and this full-time job and is trying to keep up with life.
And so, today is Wednesday for those that are listening.
That's right. I'm trying to confuse them. But we're having Deanna on today for a special reason. And that is for the last 2 years, we've worked with Horse Nation on a project. Tell us about it, Deanna.
Yeah, so for the last 2 years, Horse Nation has hosted a Halloween short story contest. So what we're looking for is we're looking for our readers or your listeners or a combination of both to submit a short story to Horse Nation, and our favorites will get published between the 29th and the 31st of Halloween. Of October. You can see where my brain is. And then kind of the tops of those will be read on Horse in the Morning on Halloween.
So this is happening right now. Now, last year, what we do is we do a special episode, if we can arrange it. We do a special episode, and it just so happens that the 31st this year falls on the fifth Thursday of the month, which we normally would put a best of episode up. But instead, Deanna's going to come on, and we are going to do a special Halloween episode like we've done in the past, and we're going to read these short stories. We might play a little trivia. We're just going to have a little Halloween fun that day. But people need to get their stories in, don't they?
Yes, we are looking to get them by midnight on Sunday, October 27th. Typically, we ask for them a week ahead of time, but because we announced the contest, but Horse Nation, not you guys, just a little bit late. I wanted to give people more time. And as somebody who spent more than enough time in school in her life, I know that sometimes the weekend is helpful. So I thought midnight on a Sunday might be easier than midnight on a Thursday.
So stories should
be looking to get them in
2,500 words or less, right?
Or less, correct. And they need to be spooky, but that can be good old-fashioned, you know, give you goosebumps type of stories, or they can be a little bit more tongue in cheek. Like, for instance, this year you might be, it might be the mystery of the missing 14-foot statue.
Do you know what was spooky to me was you mentioning that we had to get 2,500 words written on a Sunday night. I'm like, I totally like went back to college. Oh my God. I'm starting to sweat just trying to remember like the stress of trying to get everything crammed on a Sunday night. You're right. Nailed it. Everybody's going to write their Sunday night.
And if you did it the day before computers, it didn't count words for you, so you had to count them yourself. It's awful.
Right, right. And it can definitely be less than 2,500 words. That's just sort of our limit. And if they end up being a bit longer, we may use our discretion and edit them for readability.
Now, these stories, as evidenced in the past, can be stories that are actually true, that something spooky happened to you and your horse, and you write a story about it, or you just totally make it up. I mean, it's either way. It doesn't have to be a true story. It can be a made-up story. There were some really good ones in the past. I have an example here I'm going to play in just a minute of one that we did last year that Jamie read. But if you win, what happens? You can come on our show and read your own story, or, you know, we'll record it and play it. But that's one of the things that can happen.
Excellent. Yeah. And if you want to enter, you can email me. My email address is deanne@horsenation.com. You can also find the details on our Instagram page, which is go_writing. You can find it on our website, horsenation.com. There are lots of different places to find the details and be able to enter.
All right. And Deanne, we're going to get you to co-host that day. So that's going to be a lot of fun, too. That'll be your first time co-hosting the show. We're going to get you a mic, though, because your phone sucks. It's a really bad phone for talking on the phone. The sound is terrible.
So, I actually have a mic, but okay.
All right, good. We'll get you on Skype, then. It'll be a lot better sound for sure. All right, so entries are due by Sunday, October 27th. deanne@horsenation.com is where the entries go. There's an article about it on Horse Nation right now, so you can go read the article and get the details. But we want to get you guys in the mood, so we're going to play a story from last year. Deanne, thank you so much. We appreciate you stopping by, and we'll see you again, next Monday, right?
All right, that sounds good.
All right, sounds good. And here is the story that Jamie read from last year. And we're going to be back. We'll have Jemmy on, and we have Chronicle in History with Abby later on in the show. Plus, I think you have some stories coming up, some weird stories, and we might have a list or two as well.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
This is a story by Angel Cantrell.
Okay.
It was a chilly, rainy, gloomy day in October. The sky was gray and the wind blew the rain in sheets. Lady had been napping in the run-in shed all morning, and now she was feeling a bit peckish, so she meandered out into the weather to find a good snack. The geldings had been huddled miserably in the rain just outside the range of her evil eye, and they took advantage of her leaving to charge hastily into the dry warmth of the run-in shed. The pasture was soggy and the rain was beginning to pick up, but she continued unabated. A mare needed to keep her girlish figure, and good clover was only to be found under the big oak tree. She had reached the tree and was munching contentedly when suddenly lightning flashed and thunder boomed across the valley. She spooked playfully and blew her nose, challenging the storm. Lady looked to the sky in the west, waiting for light to come again. It did. Closer this time, and the thunder boomed louder. She bucked for joy and began to run, feeling the rain beat against her coat. On she ran, faster and faster. She bucked and played, snorting against the wind. It whipped her mane, and she pushed against it, running to the top of the hill in the pasture. She stopped for a moment to catch her breath and blew a whistling challenge to the wind. Thunder boomed again, and she bucked, beginning to run down the hill against the wind, reveling in her strength. She was a mare, powerful, strong, all-knowing. Nothing could catch her. Nothing could stop her. Everything bowed before her, the mare. For a few minutes more, she enjoyed her race against the wind, but as she started to tire, she began to circle back to the shed. The geldings were standing like wussies in their shelter, fearing the storm. She stopped and reared, whinnying at the wind. As she landed, she caught sight of something behind her. Whirling around, she blew another challenge, confidence radiating from her. Until she actually realized what she saw. It was the most evil and feared creature that a horse will ever see. It was a plastic bag. It blew towards her, large, white, and looming. She froze, waiting to see if it would blow past. The bag blew to and fro, drawing ever nearer, and she snorted uncertainly, watching it closely. Her fine ears twitched towards the geldings and back to the bag, her large, round haunches tensed, ready to spring away. She would not show weakness in front of the geldings, whom had just become aware of the bag that was holding her attention. They paced, calling to her, telling her it was safe in the shed. Lady stood strong, still watching the bag. Deciding it would likely blow on by, she began to walk quickly and deliberately to the shed, determined to show no weakness. All of a sudden, the bag blew directly between her and the shed, heading straight for her. Freezing again, she took 1 second too long to decide, and instantly the bag blew directly onto the bush in front of her. Frightened, she whirled and bolted, at first cantering just out of reach, but the bag blew off the bush and swooped after her. Annoyed, she turned on the afterburners. Catch her, would it? We would see about that. She galloped up the pasture, becoming more and more alarmed as the bag began to gain ground. Filled with growing dread, Lady galloped onto the stand of trees in the corner of the pasture, attempting to lose her pursuer. She looked behind her and bucked in victory, not seeing the white, crackling villain. However, she celebrated too early, for it descended silently only a few feet in front of her. She dropped her haunches to a stop, sliding across the ground as she tried to turn away. Dread turned to terror when the bag brushed her flanks, and she turned to run back. Galloping at top speed, she did not look back to see if it was behind her. The pasture was several acres, and the gate was down by the run-in shed at the opposite end of the pasture from the trees. Her lungs and legs burned as she pushed for the gate. There was no one who could help her now, no one except the humans. She would run to the gate and make these humans bring her into the barn away from the wild plastic bag. She, Lady, would pace a hole in the ground until they brought her in. No, she would not stop at that. She was a mare. She did not deserve this injustice. She would tear that gate down and then come back later to deal with those useless geldings. Mind made up, she pushed herself to gallop faster. Still not slowing to discover if the bag was following, Lady made the final turn before the gate, readying for a burst for her powerful body to tear it down. She would just run right through the damn thing if that's what it took. Just as the gate and the water drop came into sight, she saw them. It was a coven of plastic bags! They floated ethereally in the air surrounding the water trough and the gate, and she counted more than five, and horror overcame her mind as she realized that this was it for her. Legs flailing, she put all four in reverse and stopped hard in a wash of water and mud. One of the plastic bags noticed her and turned and pointed at her. She started to back away when her legs touched water. Horrified, she looked down. She was standing on a muddy island surrounded by water, and a moat of water was widening before her eyes, too far to jump. It started to encroach on her island, which grew smaller and smaller, heading for her hooves. Other bags were visible in the water, just like the ones in front of her. Terrified, she reared, trying to keep her hooves away from the ones in the water. She closed her eyes as she landed, waiting to be pulled under and killed. As her hooves came down, they landed in a small puddle. Eyes squeezed tightly shut, Lady did a check of her body. Except for the heavy breathing and tired muscles, she felt nothing. And then she heard, was that laughter? She opened her eyes, and there in front of her were the humans. She watched them bewildered, trying to figure out why they were laughing, why no one was comforting her or putting out a bounty on plastic bags. One of them held something out to her. She pulled back at first, but the human talked softly and she came up to smell it. The plastic bag. It was a poncho. Another human revealed themselves from under another poncho. The humans were the coven of floating plastic bags at the gate. She snorted suspiciously, eyeing them. She stepped back. The water splashed and she blew at it also. Where had the water come from? Looking past the human, she saw a broken pipe. The humans were out here fixing a broken pipe in the rain. She pricked her ears looking for the geldings. Were they laughing too? Oh no. The humans were laughing, and now she realized they were laughing at her. Lady shook her mane and pinned her ears, giving them her best mare glare. Laugh at her, would they? Oh, they'd pay. They'd all pay. Her ears pinned back and her nose wrinkled tight. They were the ones who should be filled with horror, because now she would show them where they could stick their laughter. And the weeks after the bag incident, many strangely malevolent things happened. Every hoof pick in the barn went missing. All of the polos became unrolled, and every fly spray bottle stopped working. Someone spilled the grain bags and knocked over a haystack, making a huge mess, but no suspect was ever found. All of the horse's shoes were found mangled beyond repair in a pile in the woods, and every blanket was ripped, straps destroyed. The geldings lived in fear, never knowing when their next scrape would come, for they had all incurred the wrath of a mare.
That was so well written and so well read, I might add.
That was horrifying to listen to.
It was very well read, actually. It was very well done. But it just goes to show that the stories can be, they don't have to be blood and guts, right? It was well written. And so true.
Who wrote that one? Do we remember?
Yeah, at the beginning it said, I'll just play the very beginning again so we can hear who wrote it.
I walked to pick up my daughter from school. So I was walking.
Let's try this one.
This is a story by Angel Cantrell.
Angel Cantrell. So, good job. Well done. That's the kind of things we're looking for. Just go to horsenation.com. You can find the story there, or just send Deanne an email. All right. Right now, going on over at horselovers.com, there is a blowout sale on Ariat products. 17 pages. Of Ariat products. And this includes Western and English. It includes boots and clothing and jeans and shirts, rubber boots, all kinds of Ariat products. And very seldom do you see Ariat products on a major sale. But they have some of the cowboy boots marked down 40 to 50%. They have some of the other products, the clothing products are marked down up to 80% off. So definitely go over right now to horselovers.com and look at the blowout sale. Remember what we tell you every week is these sales don't last long. So this might only last a day or two. You have to go over right when we talk about it, and you'll find them there. The other thing that I noticed, too, is on their flash sale, they have the Roco gloves, the winter Roco gloves that are so popular, probably the most popular ones out there, are marked down to $34, and they're normally much more than that. So if you want to, if you need some winter gloves coming up for this year, they come in three different colors, but the Roco gloves right now on sale for $34 over at Horse Lovers as well. And the other thing we don't talk about very much is the auctions. They have auctions that go on all the time and you can bid on stuff. And that's, I think you've been blocked from that, haven't you, Jamie?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Weird.
Don't think they let her on there. But yeah. the auctions have all kinds of stuff. I was looking at the auctions have 14 pages of stuff. So if you want to spend the rest of the day shopping at work, you might as well go to Horse Lovers with a Z.
I got to tell you, I was just in my local feed store. They have like a little section of boots. And so I always walk over to see if my Ariat boot of choice is on sale. And there's like a square toe fat baby. I love those fat babies. And so I went over to see and I was like, oh, my gosh, they're on sale. They were like $100 normally and they were on sale for $50. It's like, done. So I go through all of them and there's like some blue ones and there's some red ones. And there's, I found some like turquoise ones that do turquoise tops, you know, and it was like a square toe. Yes, I got the boot on sale. And I go over the counter. I'm like, I'm checking out with all my feed and my boots. And the boots rang up at $100. No. These were on sale. They were totally on clearance. I need the boots. And so they go back. They're like, oh yeah, sorry. That was in the wrong place. You picked the wrong one. That one's not on sale. And I was like, dang it.
Well, go look at Horse Lovers. They might be on sale today.
Trust me. Where do you think I am right now, Glenn? I've lost me for the rest of the show because I'm going to see if my boots are on there.
Actually, you have to talk to Jemmy next. Jemmy, our producer here on and my partner over at the Florida Podcast Network. I'm going to add her in right now because she told us last week, remember, that she had a new show coming out?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's out. And I got to listen to... the first episode. I'll talk about that in just a second.
Where I'm trying to say, don't talk about it behind her back. She needs to know what you think.
Hi, Jemmy.
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you so much for coming on. We were just talking about your new show, People of Florida. Now, I have a really exciting weird news story. I'm going to do some weird news. And as you know, I always have to end... with a story about somebody in Florida. So
it's
so
easy to find them.
I'm going to start compiling these for your show. I mean, that's what I'm going to do. What is People of Florida? Besides weird, people are weird.
Well, people definitely are weird, and we seem to lead the league here in Florida. I can't imagine why, but actually there is a little bit of an explanation, not to, you know, because I got to have Floridians' backs just a little bit. The explanation is that because the courts here release the public information immediately when someone's arrested, it's just all out there in the public, and we're one of, like, I think only 5 states that do that in the union. So for the most part, yeah, and because we have such a high level of population, there's a lot of room for crazy. Hey, man, you're Floridian too. You should have my back. But so, people of Florida, it's meant to be a show that highlights. So there are going to be a couple different segments that highlights different people of Florida, because Florida has such a diverse amount of cultures and lifestyles. I mean, you have everything from the people who are into, like, the surfing and the water sports and the fishing and the boating and all that, to, you know, the Cuban culture, and you have the Haitian culture, and you have there's such a diversity here. So I really wanted the chance to highlight that. So highlight the different lifestyles, but then also highlight notable figures in Florida's history, whether past or present. And so sometimes there are, like, Florida's visionaries too. So it's kind of meant to just highlight different people throughout the state. So the first segment, I'll be featuring a particular guest. So it'll be the bulk of the episode will be highlighting one particular person. And it could be someone who is about to make headlines or currently making headlines, or someone who is just doing some amazing things that I think you should know about. And then in the back half of the episode, I have reporting partners from throughout the state, and they are going to be sharing stories of kind of hidden figures of our past, the people who helped make Florida into Florida, you know, the influencers before there were influencers, you know what I mean? And so I have people like different visitors bureaus, reporters, authors, historians, bloggers, tour guides, all kinds of people who are going to be rotating in as guest storytellers. And what I'm tasking them to do is, even if the story they're sharing may be common, there's going to be an angle about it that the average person has never heard before. So in the first episode, which came out yesterday, I'm so excited, I have highlighted Mystic Michaela. And Mystic Michaela is out of Boynton Beach, and she's an aura reader, and she's fantastic, and actually a client of mine from Flintstone Media. So I produce her podcast, and she's just brilliant. And she does, her clients are every, like, I mean, Entertainment Tonight, like, like, those are her clients, Bachelor Nation, Real Housewives people.
Wait. Are you telling me that people that are on Real Housewives use an aura reader?
I'm so shocked, aren't you? I know. And so she's meeting all these people, and she's getting on television. She's just got a write up in Cosmo. So she's my first featured guest. And then
wait a minute, before you go on.
Yeah.
I listened to your show yesterday, and it was so well done. It's almost like you know how to podcast.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So and the editing's very well done too. But
thank you.
I pulled a little clip. By the way, everybody in the audience knows that I have this kind of love-hate relationship with animal communicators. I'm not sure if I'm a believer, but there was a freaky story that Mr. Bakilla talked about, and I have just a short clip of this right here. There you go, Jamie.
Oh boy.
I walked to pick up my daughter from school. So I was walking and I saw a man on the corner, and I'm like, okay. And then he disappeared. And I'm like, okay. And I wasn't scared, but I was like, okay. I'm like, that must have something to do with my readings later. So I just, you know, whatever. I'm a mom, you're a mom. You get it. There's things to do.
Yeah.
So like I did my things.
Yeah.
And then the lady came, and she had a very hard energy for the reading. You know, I shuffled everyone out the door and had the reading come, and she's an older woman. And
when you say hard energy, what does that mean?
She's like tough. Like very, she's a nice, nice woman. Mm-hmm. Just had, it felt like a porcupine.
Gotcha.
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. She was like,
defenses up and stuff.
Yeah. Armor up, defenses, a little angry. Very nice to me. Like she wasn't going to be a jerk or anything.
Yeah.
But I knew she was going to be a tough one to crack.
Yeah.
Meaning it's hard for her to get vulnerable. So she sat down, and I started with my prayer and everything. And then I had this like major cracking pain in my eye, and I was like, oh my god, it was like on my right side. I'm like, my eye is killing me in my head. She's like, oh, that's where my ex-husband shot himself Because she's pissed at him for killing himself.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, she was like mad at him for killing himself. She's very angry at him.
Well, there you go.
I can't believe you made it that far, Glenn.
So she sees aura colors around people, and that allows her to translate a lot of their life direction. And then she's also a psychic medium. She connects with people who've passed. It's just
now, were you a believer before you met her?
I'm open. I'm definitely very open. Here are my thoughts on this kind of stuff. There's a lot that we don't know, and I think it's pretty darn arrogant to think that we have it all figured out. But at the same token, I think there are a lot of charlatans out there. She is not a charlatan. She's
so real, now I have a follow-up question. What part on her hurt when she met you?
Let's say that again.
So her eye hurt when she met this woman who sex shot himself in the eye. What part hurt when she met you?
Oh, her heart. She sees I'm just a lonely, lonely, withered soul.
What color is your aura, Jimmy?
Apparently I'm blue. And blue people apparently are like healers. They want to help people. And it's just so funny to hear her describing me before she even really knew me. And there was a lot that really did connect. It was bizarre. And then in the middle of the episode, she randomly does a reading of my friend who I'd had breakfast with that day. And she nailed it. Like, she totally nailed my friend Teresa's aura and personality to a T. It was nuts.
Can
but
you
yeah,
me
she's
a favor
great.
And never show her my picture ever.
Oh, I have no intention of scaring the woman. But now,
if you're going to keep talking about her, I've got to change the subject. So you go ahead and finish.
I was going to transition to explain the second segment of my show, but go ahead. What's up?
I feel like I've been on board and supportive of the new show, People of Florida, but have you booked Wrinkles the Clown yet?
Because no, but I am going to be talking about him. I'm going to be talking. Okay, so the last segment on the show, I'll skip the second segment for a second. The last segment of the show, what I'm doing is relating it back to current things or my past. So if there's something in the story or that we talked about with one of my guests that I relate to, then I'll bring up some random story from my past, or I'll share something that's just nuts about a person of Florida that I discovered or was told about, like Wrinkles the Clown. So I'm not, no joke, Wrinkles the Clown is on deck to be spoken about at the end of episode 2. And then so the middle segment there, I just want to highlight real quick, Kevin Witrowski, he was my guest storyteller. He's from Visit Tampa Bay. And he told the story of Ybor, who built Ybor City. But the hidden figure of that story is a guy with one of the most amazing mustaches I have ever seen in my entire life. And so we talk about him and how he helped build up Tampa Bay. It was just so, and that's kind of what I'm going to be doing at that second segment, is getting these guest storytellers to tell us all these random things.
It's kind of a history segment, and he did a really good job setting the stage and telling the story. Kevin did a great job.
He did. And so I have breaking news. It's an exclusive for you guys here on Horses in the Morning. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
So, Glenn, you're gonna have a hint as to who this is, but I have finally booked, it's official, my second episode guest. And it's someone who you guys know very well. It's Charlotte.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Charlotte Girl Smith. Yeah, she's gonna be my guest because I just find her fascinating, her willpower, her go-get-it attitude, like the things that she's accomplished. She's just amazing. And she was my roommate on the Horse Lovers Cruise, and I love her. So, yeah, so she's going to come on as my second guest for episode 2, Charlotte the Horse Girl.
I'm so glad. That's good. And she's kicking butt in the weightlifting area of life.
Oh, my gosh. All I know is I'm going to be her roommate again on this next cruise, and I'm so glad she likes me and we still get along, and I hope I don't screw it up because she will
her. There's
beat
twice
me.
As much muscle.
She could throw me over the side of that cruise.
She could. Where can people find the show?
Well, go to peopleoffloridapodcast.com. You'll find it there. And breaking news number 2, it's now available in iTunes. It's searchable in iTunes. So you can look in iTunes and find People of Florida right there.
Very good. Thank you, Jenny. Good luck with it.
Thank you.
I just got a phone call from Lucas's school that said he has thrown up all over himself and that I need to come and get him.
So
Chad's home, but Chad's asleep because he's sick. And I'm like, wake up, go get your child.
All right. I just picked up a Templeton Thompson song then while you go deal with all of that. A horse that can fly.
You.
We'll be right back.
All caged in, need to get a little air so I can breathe again. Got a thirst in my heart, hunger in my eyes, need to satisfy my soul, free my wild side. My wheels have been spinning like crazy in my head. Gotta get back to living before I forget. My sights are set where that green grass is a good star, so get me over that fence. Yeah. 'Cause I need somewhere to run, somewhere to ride. Fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. I've saddled these dreams, I'm holding on tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can. Back and a lot on my mind. Yeah, the weight of this world really gets me sometimes. There's a freedom inside me I've been missing so much. Gonna kick the gates wide open and leave a big old cloud of dust. Yeah. 'Cause I need somewhere to run, somewhere to ride. A fresh pair of out of these dreams, holding on tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah. Giddy up, look at what lies on the horizon. Second star to the left, then straight on till morning. So I need somewhere to run, somewhere to ride. A fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. Saddle these dreams, holding on tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah, I need a horse that can fly. Feeling all good, feeling all good.
People know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half-chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. ovationriding.com.
Well, we're back. Thank you for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. I don't know if Jamie's here back or not.
I'm back.
Okay,
I'm back.
I don't know if you ran out to the school or not. So while we were waiting, I fought through the advertisements on Horse and Hound, which is not an easy feat, to pull up the horse-related superstitions that some people swear by. And there's some in here that I have never heard of before. There's a lot I've heard of, but some I've never heard of. So, Jennifer, the first one is hunting. And the first number one says, never wear anything new out hunting or competing. So how do you, I guess you wear it in practice? You got to wear something. First time you wear your hunt coat, I mean, at a hunt.
I just bought a new pair of white breeches because I have had my white breeches with the black sticky butt for 15 years. Okay. And I finally just bought a white pair for the makeover, and I get to the makeover and I go to put them on, and my friend Larissa is like, what are you doing? I'm putting on my new breech. No, you can't put on something because the tags were still on. She's like, you can't wear something new for the first time at a competition. Like, but no, they're my new breeches.
I never knew that. Jennifer, you heard that one?
Oh, yeah. Never. You never knew anything brand sparkling new. Now, think about it, Glenn. Back in the day when you played tennis, would you get a new tennis racket and use it for the first time at a tournament? Of course not.
She's got you there.
Well, that's a good point.
What's next?
Number two, it's unlucky to rename your horse. Well, we've talked about that one a lot in the past.
I think if the horse has had a bad past, a new name is a fresh start.
We don't think it's unlucky. We've renamed every horse we've ever gotten. So, yeah. Number three, and I never knew this one. Green is an unlucky color for equestrians.
Uh-oh, my barn's green and white.
Did you ever hear that?
Uh-oh.
I've never heard that. I didn't either. It's considered really bad luck, especially in racing. But there's a lot of green silkies out there, right?
What? That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. Number four. See, and this is one I never knew either. Seeing one light gray horse is bad luck, unless you're with your lover. I have no idea. I have no idea what that means. I don't think I really want to know. Number five.
No, we don't.
A horseshoe is lucky if hung outside your home. And of course, we've heard that one before. That goes back to ancient
times. Yeah, but do you hang it up or do you hang it down?
Yeah, is it lucky? Is it less lucky if it's hanging inside your home?
It says others claim the horseshoe should be hung upside down to stop the devil sitting in the bottom of it.
What? So I always heard that you want to keep the horseshoe, you know, up to keep the luck in. But to me, I'm like, turn it upside down and let that luck pour on me as I walk through the door.
Yep. Well, I like yours better anyway, because I don't want the devil sitting in
it. Yeah, I like that. So, yeah.
Don't let the devil sit in your horseshoe. I've never heard that, but that's awesome.
And you got married on the beach, right?
I did.
Okay. Did your bridegroom carry a horseshoe in his pocket to ensure a happy marriage?
What the hell's a bridegroom? That's a that Chad?
Yes.
That would have been Chad.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
He played the part of bridegroom.
You could just say groom. No, Chad did not carry a horseshoe in his suit.
Apparently, like, that's a superstition that you're supposed to carry a horseshoe in your pocket. I didn't see Chad carrying the horseshoe. A horse neighing outside your door means your family will get sick. Well, if that's the case, Scooter does that every day, 16 times a day. We should be dead.
I'm in trouble. Although Lucas just threw up at school. He's on his way home. Oh, somebody must have whinnied this morning.
Somebody must have whinnied. Piebalds are lucky. Skewbalds are unlucky. I've heard that one before. I have heard that one before. Number 10. You should do 13 braids for geldings and 12 for mares.
I have heard that.
What's the reason behind that?
Well, they're supposed to be. I've heard the odd and even thing, but I've never heard specific numbers. Yeah.
I guess it would depend on the mane, too, right? I don't know.
And the hunter shows when I grew up, we always tried to get 13 braids in for the, and I had a gelding.
Well, number 11 is, although others believe it should always be an even number of braids, including the forelock, to avoid bad luck.
Y'all are just.
You know how many it's supposed to be? It's supposed to be exactly the number that the professional braider you hired puts in. That's how many braids your horse should have. Right. And that will give you excellent luck.
That's right.
I don't think I've ever even counted braids as an adult. If I hire somebody up there, here's $30, man. Just braid us. I don't have to.
Kayla, looks good. Kayla did your braiding at the makeover, right?
She did. And let me tell you something. You want to braid your horse and have it last for 127 days, you do that. I was like, Kayla, you have to take these out. I can't get them out. She's like, I'm going to go home. And I was like, not before you take these braids out. It's amazing.
And we're talking about our auditor, Kayla Benny.
I'm like, I might actually have to pull them out. We're just going to roach the mane at this point if it was left up to
there
me.
You go.
And here, a light gray horse again. What's all this about superstitions and light gray horses? A light gray horse appearing in a dream for three consecutive nights means an elderly person will die.
Good Lord. Ah.
First of all, I don't think I've had any dreams for three nights in a row.
I don't particularly remember.
Any dream you have for three nights in a row.
Yeah. Right? The light gray horse from last night's dream made an appearance. I wouldn't remember that.
How about a horse found in its field all sweaty with tangled and twisted mane and tail has spent the night being ridden by pixies?
This is boring.
Well, that's good because that was the last one.
It's getting ridiculous.
Well, you've never seen pixies ride your horse before?
Let's move past this. All right, you want some weird news or we're going to have Abby on first?
We'll have Abby on first and then we'll end with some weird news. It seems appropriate. So we tomorrow are going to have the fox hunting episode for you. And then on Friday, we're back with some really bad ads. Jennifer needs some ads, so get them in. Jennifer,
Lord will, and I'll be coming at you from California too. I'm flying non-rev. Yeah, I'm going tomorrow.
And then you'll be there for a week? How long have you been there?
Just till Sunday night.
Oh, okay.
It's the clinics over the weekend.
Going to Flag Us Up Farm.
Yes.
All right, cool.
Teach some join-up clinics to some veterans.
Well, if you see Monty doing a dance routine like you were doing in that video in the auditor room, you better film that sucker.
I hope they don't redact my certificate.
Abby's up next. She is with the Chronicle, and she's one of our terrific auditors as well. And she does the Chronicle in History for us once a month on the third Wednesday of every month. Hi, Abby.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Good. So what year are we going back to this month?
You made so much fun of me.
Let me guess. Okay, we're going way back in history. We're going to go to 1997. So long ago.
I was alive then.
Well, for new listeners, she didn't go back real far last time. Not real far. So we made horrendous fun of her the whole time. And so now we're going back really ancient, huh?
First year, huh?
I'm going to show you. This is 1937.
Wow.
That's way back.
Yeah. That's before 1997.
So. Wow, you're a mathematician. You're amazing. Abby, what on earth was going on in the Chronicle of the Horse in 1937?
To set the stage, I think that the Depression had just been over. Right, was just ending then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a whole different ballgame. It's a little bit, as I'm reading through it, it's a little bit like Facebook. Like, literally the first section that I tagged is town and country gossip. Like, they just would post about what people were doing. Like, half of these are like, this person went to a party, and this person went and vacationed up in, you know, New England, and they're back now. Like, that is what the news was.
Who were they talking about? Give me a name. I want a name.
Let's see. We have Mrs. James H. Gill of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, has rented Mr. and Mrs. Robert Windmill's Waverly Farm on Springs Road for 1 year.
Like, I don't want to tell you the first thing that came up when James H. Gill. I know you're shocked. In 1937, James H. Gill obituary is the first thing that popped up. Sorry, James.
Nope. There's a whole different section for that. Don't worry. And then there's all the wedding announcements. There's debutante balls. There's a whole article about Mary Atkinson being presented at a ball.
Do rich people still do debutante balls, or are they a thing of the past?
I think in the South, I knew a girl in college that had done one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was way back in 2012. So
yeah, that was a really long time ago.
Mary Atkinson and debutante balls.
Debutante balls. Boy, that's something from the past. Well, we got to remember, too, that the Chronicle was started in a very wealthy town.
yes.
So
I just Googled debutante ball. There was a 24 debutantes were presented at the traditional Beaux Arts Society ball, and this is in Oklahoma City.
You weren't invited?
There you go. You could go.
I was not invited. Oklahoma Golf Club and Country Club. Excuse me. Sorry.
Well, apparently they're still doing
that. Yeah, you need an invite to that. Yeah, so back then it was the Middleburg Chronicle. Like, it was the local newspaper. So it's all, you know, everybody knew everybody, and we had the gossip columns. I also found one article saying that, this is what, 1937, September 15th was the license plate deadline. Everyone had to have a license plate on their car by then.
Oh, my gosh.
And they cost $2.75.
Wow. Just think about that. Before that, people didn't have license plates.
I know.
It's crazy.
And I hit and run by that black car.
Yeah. Right.
It wasn't going very fast, though.
We're okay.
Yeah, exactly. I outran him. It's all right. Yeah, and I saw another one. I didn't like tag it because it the headline wasn't that interesting, but it was talking about how, you know, Middleburg's the modern town with our paved roads and our automobiles and our telephones. So I was like, oh, that's so nice.
We're so fancy. We have like roads and cars. Stuff.
We have roads and cars, and we can talk to each other. Yeah, I also found one where the Fauquier Loudon polo team, which Fauquier and Loudon is a huge, you know, hunt country style horse country, they actually played the Marines from Quantico in a polo game, and they lost to the Marines.
So, were they still playing polo back then?
I don't want to sound presumptuous, but I don't think the Marines still have a polo team. If anyone knows,
no, I don't think so.
You know, that's still going on. Let me know.
Hey, you know what? They do weird stuff in the military. Do you know Chad was on the Air Force racquetball team? Like,
oh, wow.
He was sponsored and everything, like traveled doing racquetball tournaments on the military. So let's see, Marine.
I doubt there's a Marine polo team, but can you imagine how rough they played? No wonder they lost. Jeez.
I would not want, it's like football on horses, I would bet.
Yeah, who would want to play the Marine team? Cool. That wouldn't be good. You'd be getting whacked all the time.
Yeah, well,
water polo.
Not these guys. Oh, there you go.
Polo,
then
again,
you've got the threat of drowning.
Was very big in the wealthy towns back then. So it kind of makes sense, right, that they would report on polo. Still is, actually.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a Texas Military Polo Club. Sorry, Texas Military
there
Polo
you go.
Club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So you got to go to Texas if you want to play polo while you're in the military. This is good to know. For anyone interested.
Anything else from 1937?
Let's see. They discovered a horse-like wolf in Asia, apparently, which is...
What?
The entire article is just... I mean, I couldn't figure out where the wolf-like situation came in. All they're saying is they found a really small horse fossil. But apparently they decided to talk about how they found this tiny, tiny horse. And, hey, they didn't actually used to be the same size. And they used to look different. And then they talk about how evolution works for, like, an entire page. Because I feel like people maybe weren't so bought into that back then.
There's a lot of people not bought into it now.
It's true. there's also a really cool article about the Simpsons went on a jog-trotting two-horse honeymoon, and they literally hopped on horseback for their honeymoon and, like, ran around Virginia for see how long.
So romantic.
Oh, they went to Baltimore? Yeah, they did the whole 600-mile honeymoon on horseback.
Okay,
like, they did a full-on endurance.
Okay, let me, as a horse husband who doesn't ride much, let me bring this up. If honeymoon's supposed to be for a certain activity, if I'm on horseback that much, I'm not feeling like that activity.
Did the last line of the article say they were unable to consummate their marriage?
Chafing was incredible.
Yeah, right. Oh my gosh, it sounds like the Mongol Derby, but you know, a little bit more tame.
And a jog trot.
Yeah.
See how much more fun the 30s are than the 90s and the 1990s. This is great.
Yeah, this is great. I think next time you should do 1938. And we'll take a look at how things change.
We'll just go all the way up.
I think, add 5 years every time.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. The last one is hilarious. It's they had this section called pork pie where they had, you know, recipes. And I found one earlier for a salad. It's basically like salad and hard-boiled eggs. But this one was called A Plea from Pork Pie. So the woman that wrote that section wrote an entire article about how, I guess, the Middleburg moved into a new office. And I was trying to figure out if it's our current office. She described it as an old white brick building, but I can't figure out if it's where it is now. But regardless, this entire article was her plea for somebody to open a hot dog stand in their old office because Middleburg didn't have any good places to get hot dogs.
I didn't even know hot dogs were a thing back then. When did hot dogs
come in? She said, apparently, she said, I adore hot dogs. They are the national American food, but I've never had a good one in the East in my life.
That's because, Glenn, hot dogs started when people started eating pigs. And they're like, what do we do with all this crap that fell on the floor? And we're going to scoop it all up.
500 years ago in 1484 in Germany.
Scoop up all that leftover pig that's on the floor. Cram it all together. I know.
You didn't waste anything back then.
Nope.
Wow. Hot dogs were...
Well, there you go.
Can you please go and look in the next year and see if the hot dog stand ever was built? Because this poor lady didn't have any hot dogs.
Next 5 years, again, they're going to be like, 5-year anniversary for the hot dog stand.
Exactly.
I
still don't know if we have a hot dog stand here.
You know, now the hot dog stands have been replaced by the guys with the dirty water in the little carts.
Here in Norman, we don't have a hot dog stand, but we have what this is like an iconic space in Norman as you drive by it. You know, you're going to go down the road and then you're going to make a right when you get by Van's Pig Stand. That is an actual place here in Norman, Oklahoma. I was like, does that say in neon Van's Pig Stand? Yep. Yes, it does.
Okay, I just looked up hot dog.
You frequent that place. Sir.
I looked up hot dog stands in Middleburg, Virginia, and you don't have any.
No.
Yeah. We got some really good sandwich places, so I'm sure you can get a hot dog, but, you know.
Yeah.
More avocado. Yeah.
So if there was one opened, it's not around anymore. You can go to DC3 Hot Dog Joint. It's right down the road, though, so you can get one.
There we go.
All right.
That sounds good. In case we need to, make a little trip.
That's right.
This is obviously something missing here.
Well, Abby, thank you for joining us once again with the Chronicle in History.
That was awesome. Well done.
You're welcome. We will skip, what's 5 years after? 1942 next time?
1942. I like this.
You're the mathematician on this show, so you're in charge.
I was also not alive then. Just...
Bye, Abby.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
God, things were different back then.
It's true.
It's like they decided, let's write a newspaper, but we don't know what to put in it. So let's just pick, I know this lady, she did that. I know this lady, she did that. This was really
a
newspaper.
It's the exact, it's like People Magazine. Yes. I mean, they just made a whole...
But every little town, I don't know if you grew up in a larger town, I think. Every little town had this newspaper back then. They all had the newspaper that had the weddings and the this person went on vacation. Our little town of Terry Hill, Pennsylvania, had a newspaper like that.
In Atlanta, we had the Farmers and Consumers, which was where you bought and sold horses. That's all I remember.
Yeah, we had the Lancaster County. What was that called, Jennifer? It was about as thick as a Bible every week.
Yeah, it was 500 pages every week, and it was the Lancaster Farming News.
Yeah, it was huge. Was yours huge?
It's huge.
No, I'm from Atlanta.
Couldn't wait to get it every week.
There's no farmers or consumers in Atlanta. It's like four pages.
Ours was the size of a Bible every week. It was enormous. Oh, wow. It would take up your whole mailbox. And the classifieds ran for about 80 pages of that. And the tiny little print that they charged you, what, a couple bucks a word for. Remember those days?
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Do you have some weird news?
I do. I don't know if you've heard this story, but I like to do animal stories the most, and I like to do happy animal stories. And so sad that 12 years ago in 2007, Duchess got loose from her home in Boca Raton, Florida. Duchess is a fox terrier, a toy fox terrier, and she was 2 years old, and I guess their son was opened the front door and Duchess took off. Fox Terrier, you know, they got work to do. They, the owner said, I cried myself to sleep so many nights without her. And I held out hope. I paid for that microchip every year, $15 a year, but I wasn't going to give up hope that Duchess would be returned. Well, 12 years later, Duchess was reunited with its Florida owner after being found in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Can you believe that?
So, did they think, is there any word on whether the dog made that trek themselves or had help?
She says that the dog loved to ride in cars and somehow just probably jumped in somebody's car and made the trip north. But yeah. Apparently, the dog had a tricolored face last time I saw her, and then it turns out now it's just gray. But keep in mind, people, is how important it is to actually microchip your pet. Okay, next.
Oh, sorry.
How many times this happened with Lucas? I don't know, but how many times have you seen a kid like, mommy, give me your phone. I want your phone. Mommy, I want your phone. Give me your phone. Give me your phone. They say it all the time. He still says it. He's six. Like, I'm like, you got your own iPad. You don't need my phone. I want your phone. So 2-year-old Raina was talking to her mother, Isabel McNeil, going, mama, phone, mama, phone, mama, phone. And this is actually in England, in London. And, you know, she gave her the phone, no problem. She never thought more of it until 2 days later when she received a notification that her 350-pound sofa is on the way. The $350 sofa. Lucas bought a Groupon because Groupon, I didn't have a password protected when you made purchases. And all of a sudden I got a notification that I had bought like $200 in coupons for a barbecue restaurant. It's like, what?
For the vegetarian, that's perfect.
Yeah. And so I wrote them and they were like,
you know,
oh,
maybe
this
that was his way
time.
Of trying to tell you something.
Yeah, right? He didn't it. So yeah, the toddler unwittingly pressed the one click now buy it button on Amazon. And just like that, a new 3-piece tufted gray sofa was theirs. She tried to figure out how to cancel the order, but it was too late. And in true scary efficient Amazon style, they say, the sofa turned up on her doorstep packed in a big old cardboard box.
The next
congratulations.
That's funny.
And our final story, where else do we have to go? But say, Glenn, where are we going?
Florida.
We're going to go to Florida. That's right. A deputy for Pasco County Sheriff's Office posted a Twitter response to a man's Saturday night calls. Apparently, there was a man calling. The man is unnamed, apparently. I'm trying to find his name. No, but can't give his name out. Sorry. Deputy Neil Zalva says that in a Twitter video, he called the man back to tell him, stop calling us. Apparently Saturday night, this guy just kept calling 911, 911, 911, complaining to the officer, saying he needed some help. Deputies, tell the Florida man, stop calling 911 about your stolen weed. We don't need to know that your roommate stole your weed. This guy is sitting in his house and he's like, my roommate stole my doobies. I gotta call the police. And apparently reportedly called the police 8 or 9 times to report his roommate.
They finally go out and arrest him.
Stealing his weed. A sheriff's office spokesman says no charges were filed against the caller.
They could have for calling 911.
Reminding you that recreational marijuana use remains illegal in Florida. Basically, you're like, come and get me. We got weed.
You hear these stories all the time, the people calling 911. My crack was stolen. My
God, somebody stole my drugs.
Well, drugs are bad for you, people.
Drugs are bad.
Drugs
kids.
Are bad.
Don't do drugs. And that wraps up our... I had more, but I'll save that one because there's one. It's going to take me too long to tell this
and
next
one. And you got
week.
A sick kid coming home. So
I got a sick kid hugging me right now. So,
all right.
Love you guys. Mean
Thank
it.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow for the fox hunting episode with Jennifer and the gang tomorrow morning.